again, just want to wish all fathers, grandfathers, and spiritual fathers a very happy Father's Day. I trust you all can have a grand celebration, and it's not just celebrating, but it's about that joy that all of us are here from the Father through our fathers and mothers, that our life has purpose, our life has reason. You know, many times we may be told, hopefully not any one of us, we are told that, oh, you were a mistake or we didn't plan for you. But don't worry, in God's perfect plan, He thought of you even before the creation of the world. Amen? You know, and that is important. Life exists in the mind of God, and He called us into being. And this is what He told Jeremiah, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I know you. And one of the prayers of Jesus, if you spend time studying the prayers of Jesus, He doesn't just pray for Himself or His ministry, He prayed for us as a family. And His most important prayer that He prayed was in John chapter 17. Let me just read to you a portion. He says, I do not ask for these only, referring to His disciples, but also for those who will believe in Me through their words. So we are the one who believe through the words of the disciple that passed down from generation to generation. So Jesus prayed for us. In verse 21, He says, that they may all be one, just as You, Father, are in Me and I in You, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe You have sent Me. If you ask every Christian, or most of us, one of the main things of a Christian life, you ask them, especially New Year resolution, what do you hope about your relationship with God? Everyone will say, I want to be close to God. Yes? What if I tell you God doesn't want you to be close to Him? You know, this is close. But God wants us to be united in Him. Anything that is close potentially can run away. Agree? Remember, close friend. Friends end with E-N-D. Boyfriend end with E-N-D. Girlfriend end with E-N-D. No time for ministry right now, but when God calls us, He doesn't want us to be close to Him, because He knows every time we attempt to be close or we say we want to be close to God, what happened? Monday. But God says, I don't need to pray that kind of prayer because you set yourself up to fail. I want you to be united. And that's why our life is hidden in Christ. And that's why He calls us sons and daughters. So we all come from the Father through our fathers and mothers, but this Father is the perfect Father. And by calling us sons and daughters, He doesn't want to be our friend, E-N-D. But He calls us into a family. And family ends with I-L-Y. I love you. I know it's deep. I know it's very deep. But it's very true. Right? You know, this is a revelation, you know. So say to your neighbor, I-L-Y. Okay, I love you. Some of you, no. But if we are called to be united in Christ, to be hidden in Christ, we are called not to be close to God, but to be united. Therefore, as a family, we're not supposed to be close to one another. We actually are already united in Christ. What you and I need to do is to manifest that unity. Amen? No. So sometimes we pray, Lord, help us to be united as church. Of course, we want unity. But much more than that, God has already answered that prayer. He has already called us into Christ. We are hidden in Him. We are united in with the Father. And we are family. So every time when we meet together, whether as on Sunday as a gathered group, or when we meet in live groups, or 3-2-1, whatever time we meet together with another fellow believer, we are practicing unity. We are manifesting unity. We don't try to be united, because we are already united with one another through Jesus Christ. Amen. And so this today, as Father's Day, I want to share with you this message called Faith of Our Fathers. And I want to just use the example of Paul and Timothy as we are on this series, but I want to approach today's sermon on two fronts. One is about what happens in our home and what happens in our church. I think we want to begin with this basic thing, that our family, those of us who have family, those of us who are married, children, even those of us who are single, belong to a family, we must first understand our family is the first expression of the church. So we don't come to church on Sunday. My family is my first expression of my church. But on Sunday, as we gather here, we gather as many so-called churches because we are reunited in Christ. And you look at Acts chapter 16, verse 1 to 3. I want us to look at the example of Paul and Timothy. And how as we, as a family, first, whether you are the tongue or the whole or the limb, you are the first expression of a church. But as we step into this community, we are extension of the community God calls us into a family. So look at Paul and Timothy. And Paul and Timothy is an example of a father and son relationship. Although Timothy was not the biological son of Paul, but Paul shows us an example how, as those of us who are fathers, or those of us one day will be fathers, we can learn to have a kind of healthy dynamic. In Acts 16, verse 1 to 3, Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brother at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Notice it occurs twice, that the same reference that Timothy's father was a Greek. His mother was a Jew, but his father was a Greek. And in Jewish culture, if both parents were not Jews, there is a question on your legitimacy, and there's a question of whether you are incorporated into a community. So Timothy grew on the fringes of his Jewish community. He was never in. He was a, as I said before, a mangzer, an outsider. His father, some scholars say, could be an absentee father, or his father did not raise him up walking in the faith. And so Paul came in, and Paul saw something in this young man. He saw purpose. He saw destiny. And so Paul, who himself was a Pharisee, decided to circumcise Timothy. And now we know that Paul wasn't practicing legalism here. But Paul was practicing something that was important to bring Timothy into the family so that he could nurture him and help him to fulfill his destiny. Parenting is a process involving both natural and spiritual parenting. I think most of us who are parents know, as fathers and mothers, we are natural parents in a sense. We want to raise good kids. We want to raise our kids well. We want to provide for them. But there's another dimension about parenting, is what we call spiritual parenting, is that we do not just want to give our children love, but also faith. So within your first family, your first church, your first expression of church, fathers and mothers, we all have a role to love our children, but we also have a role to raise them in the faith. So it's not just natural parenting, but also spiritual parenting. How do we do it? First principle is accept your children as they are. It also goes the other way. Children, accept your parents as they are. No parents are perfect. None of us ever have experienced to have a one-year-old kid or 10-year-old child or 16 years old soon becoming an adult. We all enter into the realm of parenting sometime with a tinge of regret why they had to do this. But as we look back, we see joy because we extend ourselves to love and to raise someone and to know that they have a purpose. Accept your children as they are. As there is no perfect parents, there is no perfect child. To accept your children as they are, you must manage your expectations you have of them. Try not to place your wishes and dreams on them. Focus on their strength, and their strength will grow. Timothy did not have any physical disability, but he has what we call socially handicapped. He was always treated by people as an outsider. But Paul uses his leverage, Paul uses his social credit, Paul uses his influence to bring this guy who's an outsider into the family. And this is what it means as a church. Whether you agree or not, but I'll tell you, you better agree, we were all outsiders. But someone brought us into the family. Someone made a way for us. Someone opened the door for us. Someone so-called influenced us or touched our life that we then discover the perfect Father who doesn't want to be close to us, but he united us in Christ so that we can never end that friendship, but to grow as sons and daughters of the perfect Father. So Paul brought him through the community, through circumcision, and journeyed with him. In doing so, Paul was doing a few things. That God cares for Timothy. God loves Timothy. God never treated Timothy as an outsider. As I said before, last Sunday, church can be the most beautiful place on earth, or church can be the most traumatic experience you can have in life. And none of us should work trying to fit into church. You get what I'm saying? If we start learning that we belong to the Father, we start manifesting that unity that we have. So Paul was showing Timothy that God loves him, God cares for him, that Timothy's life is not a mistake, but it is connected to God's salvation story. And that's why he wanted Timothy to travel with him. By circumcising him, Paul could bring Timothy with him to all those trips and visit every Jewish household, that Timothy will never be treated as an outsider, but as an insider. In bringing Timothy with him, Paul wants to be a positive mirror for Timothy. Accept our children as they are, but begin to pray and see the possibilities and the destiny God set for them. But as parents, as natural parents, when you belong to a community called First Light or other churches, know that there are other parents or parents figure who come across as what we call spiritual parents. It could be a youth leader. It could be a Sikh teacher. It could be a light group leader. It could even be your pastor. Or even some friends who are mature in the faith who acts as a parent to you as well as to your children. The next slide is this. This is what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 to 12. He says this is what we should do as a church. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you have become dear to us. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. So here Paul was telling the Thessalonians, as a church, our relationship, those who are mature in the faith, towards those who are new in the faith, is like a nursing mother. We feed them with spiritual milk. We nurture them. But like a father,
we exhort them, we strengthen them, we encourage them to live a life worthy of God's calling. The church needs spiritual parents who can prophetically call out the greatest of young people through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't just look at some kid and say, oh, that one naughty kid. Don't say that. Say that that kid has energy. That kid has a future. Begin to see possibilities. And he says how we should come across as a community. He says, we were gentle with you. We were ready to share the gospel with you. We charge you to walk in a manner worthy of God. As a church, as a family, as a community, we will benefit from both spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers of the faith. Parenting involves fathers and mothers in a sense. They bring different dimension. They bring different values. They add certain things that one of us may not be able to do it, but both of us come together, something changes. But it also says here, be a relational parent. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm not saying any one of you are guilty of that, but I come across parents who are not relational with their children. They want their kids to be quiet all the time. But not in the Tan household. You know, when Amanda and Ned grows up, when we have meals, four of us are talking simultaneously. No one is listening. All of us are talking all the time. But the thing is this, we need to create time and space for our children to share and say what is in their heart. If you give them space and time to tell you the most mundane things, things that bores you to death, things that sometimes you will wonder, wow, this poor child needs to make more exposure in life because keep telling you the same thing. But I'm telling you the truth. If you allow your children to tell you the most little things that doesn't matter in life or the mundane thing, one day they will tell you the most important thing. Why? Because if they see your parents who is interested to hear you, and not spend half the time correcting you or say, oh, but really hear you and laugh with you and or cry with you, even those mundane things, they have confidence one day if they go to tough time, they go to hard situation, they're not afraid to tell you because they know you were here and they know you will at least advise them or care for them in a way they needed to be cared. I think one of the most humble experiences as a father I have, at least with Amanda, was that he would tell her friends, you know, my father listens. So some of them go to relationship problem or go to faith issue. You know what Amanda does? Call my father. He will sort you out. And sometimes I get calls from her friend, oh, no, uncle, please help me, or uncle, this and that. Sometimes some and this particular person keep telling me, oh, uncle, my heart is broken, and you know, and all this, and I listen one time, two times, the third time, say, I charge $50 an hour. Suddenly he was healed. No, I don't charge. You know, but to me, it's very humbling that my daughter could tell her peers, talk to my father. He will sort you out. He will hear you and give you some solutions. I think this is what it means for us to come as a community, that if you are natural parents, sometimes you are pulling your hair, sometimes you are frustrated, come and share. There's nothing to be ashamed of where our kids are because some of us had learned those lessons a few years or a few decades earlier. Let us come alongside. Because it's what it means to be a family. There's nothing to be ashamed that I need help. And this is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 8 to 11. He was telling the Corinthians, but I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. I was like Paul. Every time he writes, oh, there's great opportunity for ministry. But then got the demons there. There's adversaries. There's going to be opposition. But then he says, look here, church. When Timothy comes, see that you put him at ease among you. I also suspect Timothy is introverted. He doesn't like crowds. He doesn't like to mingle, and Paul always kick him to situation, mingle. Mix around. Talk. Now, some of us have children like that, they don't talk. They are afraid. But he says this, when Timothy comes, see that you put him at ease among you. I think they helped too, because the Corinthians were quite a flashy group of people. Want to go to the pub? Want to fool around? Well, Timothy was, put him at ease. But he says, for he is doing the work of the Lord as I am. So let no one despise him. Even though Timothy was brought from the outside to the inside, even though Timothy's past no longer define him, it still affects him. And Paul, like a father, knew and told the church, church, don't despise him. He's still struggling with some issues in life. He's still working to get over some of those stuff. But help him on his way in peace, that he may return to me, for I'm expecting him with the brothers. A natural father, a spiritual father, they want their children to go further than he ever gone before. In church, when we have fathers and mothers, there's no tension or rivalry or competition. Every one of us want the uprising or emerging generation to be better in the things of God. And those of us who are here, some of us need to bear in mind that some of our parents make great sacrifices. They migrated from a far country to give us a better future. They make great sacrifices to give us a better education. But Paul told the Corinthians that as much as Timothy is a son to me, you guys are as well. Because he told the Corinthians in one part of his letter that you have many teachers, but you have very few fathers. I think there's a preciousness about the way we want to do ministry. Even as your pastor, I often want you all to see me like a father to you. Because some of us struggles with that relationship with our own parents, and sometimes we need a healthy, hopefully I'm healthy, right? Healthy mirror to help you. Because one day, you are going to be a parent. Until you learn to be a son in the house, you cannot be a father. Until you learn to be a daughter in the house, you cannot be a mother, because you are passing on the bad script that was scripted to you in life through bad experience with your parents. When you do not have a positive or a healthy dynamics with so-called spiritual parents, you are bound to repeat it with your children. And we don't want that, isn't it? You know, we don't want that. But it also calls all of us to be vulnerable. For me, I knew my call. I have been called to raise many spiritual sons and daughters. I'm called to parent them. About 15 years ago, God gave me a vision of many places all over the world, in different settings, in different climate. And I saw it, honestly, church, I want to go to all of them. But the Lord says, you can't go. They are not for you. But I let you see it because these are for your sons and daughters who one day step into those places. And God being God, he honored his words, and I've seen many of those people who have stepped from our church into the field or stepped from the church into places, were those places where God showed me years ago, and I'm so grateful and thankful together with Joanne, we were part of that journey to help them to be where they are. But I do not believe this vision is for me alone. It's for all of us. That we have people whom God has placed in our life, that they have a destiny, they have a purpose, they have a journey in which we contribute. We can't go But we make sure they jolly well get there. And this is what it means. So whoever joined us, they could be like Timothy, introvert, have a chip on their shoulder. But let us, you know, put these people at ease and let us not despise them, but to learn to release them to the work God has called them as we are doing the work of God. Can I have an amen? The next part is this. In Philippians chapter 2, 19 to 22, Paul says to the church, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare, for they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. Timothy has proven himself. How like a son with a father, he has served the gospel. Paul described Timothy with such beautiful words. No one cares for you as genuinely as Timothy. If I have a chance to ask your parents to describe you, what would they say? You know, if you ask my mother says, naughty child. You know, in Asian culture, if you're naughty, that's the end of the world, right? That is almost equal to rebellion. Oh, naughty, never listen. Right? Some of you agree, yeah, you're naughty as well, right? What do we say about people whom we are leading? What do we say about people who are part of our life group or part of our ministry or we are leading them? What do we say about them? How will we describe them? And I pray that we would say that this is a son, this is a daughter who, like me, has served with me in the gospel. Amen? That should be our dream. That should be our aim. That should be our vision. And one thing, I'm glad, this is the first time I'm seeing this happening. Today they are not here. They can watch it online. I'm very happy to see Serene and Anton raising their three kids in our worship ministry. Amen? To see Kaylee and Wesley and EJ to be part of our worship ministry. Krista, please tell them, you know, that they, with their parents, they are serving the gospel. And this is what we need to do with our family, that we share dreams, we share vision to our children, that together, I believe every family in our church has a mission field, have a calling to something that the rest of us cannot do, but we can do. And we share those dreams and vision, we do it together. And in the next slide, it says here in 1 Timothy 1, verse 2 and 18 to 19, he says, to Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 18, he says, this charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. By rejecting this, some have made shipwreck of their faith. Paul tells Timothy, you are my true son. You are my true child in the faith. He did not just compliment him to other people. He did not just tell the Philippians or Corinthians how wonderful Timothy is, but he wrote this personal letter. I want you to know, I'm proud of you. You are my true child in the faith. This is something all of us must learn, which Jesus had left it for us, that we can follow after him. Jesus began his ministry from a posture, from a position of sonship. He got himself baptized, spirit came like a dove, and then heavens open, and a voice says, this is my beloved son, in whom and well pleased. Jesus had not begun his ministry yet, but the Father is already pleased with him. This is something we must learn from the perfect Father. Can we learn to be pleased with our children even before they achieve anything? And we must speak greatness into their life. We must speak truth into their life that they are well-beloved because God has given them through us that we have the honor and the privilege and, of course, the burden to raise them. But as the Father is well-pleased with them, we are also well-pleased with them. You know, when we learn to be well-pleased with one another, not by our performance, do you know, as a community, as a family, we recover faster from failure. We recover faster from disappointment. We recover faster from everything that did not go right. Because there is that openness. There's joy. Paul calls Timothy my true child in the faith. And this is something we all must learn to talk about faith with our kids, with our children. To be completely honest, to be open about discussing your personal spiritual journey with your children. Why? Because we want to raise godly children with fierce faith. You know, Amanda and Ned hear all my stories and Joanne's story about our journey, our faith, about things we go through. And you know, when he came back from Singapore after serving his national army, one of the news he broke to us is, I signed up for Bible school. We said to him, hey, you never checked with us. How can you sign up for Bible school? That was my tone. How can you sign up for Bible school? Are you caught? He said, oh, you must be called to go Bible school. Anyway, I'm an adult. I'm making an adult decision. Just barely turned 20. I said, okay. Then he looked at me, Papa, can you help me financially? I said, no. That's what I thought. No, you are an adult. You take care of it. Wow, he was so upset with me. He said, what kind of father are you? A good father. No, you are a cheap Asian. Yes, I am. You know? Always agree to accusation because they cannot come give you a comeback after that. Yes, I am. You know? And he was so upset. Here was my dear Joanne trying to bring mother and son, father and son together. Saying, oh, no, no, don't be so upset. You know? Miss Goody Goody Dushu. Now, so of course we prayed and I knew God's hands was on him. But God also refrained us from helping him financially. I think most of us parents, the moment I think when we hear our children do something, we want to do the impossible or we try to help them at least along the way. So say, oh, will you not ask first light to give me something? No. Why not? Conflict of interest. Pastor's son cannot. Wow. So he was very angry, upset. Say, if God can take care of us and bring us out from Singapore to New Zealand to Perth, God can take care of you. After all, it's the same God. And he has raised $19,000 in 5 months. So he went to do paper run, learn how to operate a forklift, work graveyard shift in the IKEA and all this and that. But somehow, there was always a shortage. I said, God will provide. As God is our weakness, without newsletter, without asking people anything, he got all the funds he needed. And so one day I say, son, come. You know why they don't give you the money? It's not because I'm cheap. Technically, I am. What is your middle name? Say faith. If you do not learn your faith lesson now, you will never learn it. As you look back in this moment in your life, you can say, God was with me. And because God is with you, you know that everything in your life where there is a demand of faith, you know you're going to pull through because God is with you. I say this story, no one can rob away from you because now you have moved into a new level of knowing God and the faith that you have in Him. We must call our children our sons of faith, our daughters of faith. And what we need to do is to urge them to have right believing and right living. We know they have battles ahead of them. And we know we can't fight every battle for them. Come on. You know what I'm saying is true. But what we need can what we can do, not just as natural parents, but as a community, is to give them a fierce fight that the devil knows he cannot win. I always tell you, the devil has tight budget. But God has limitless energy. So the devil, because of tight budget, he always intimidates us. If you're not going to give in to intimidation, the devil will find some other helpless victim. What we need to do, can we do this together? To look at our sick kids, our youth, our young adults, whoever who's coming part of our community, is that if they ever grow up in this first light, we can say, these people have fierce faith. They're not going to go quietly into the night. The next slide is this. I'm going to close in 5 minutes' time, but I'm going to just pause here in 2 Timothy. I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Paul reminded Timothy the godly heritage he has. From the grandmother to the mother and him like a father to him. But much more, he said, now, it's not about our faith. It's you must have your own faith story. You must have your own faith journey. And how do you know you have faith? It's when you know the tipping point, you no longer have a spirit of fear or timidity. And when there's no more fear, what do you have? You have power, you have love, you have self-control. We must remember our children in our prayers, and not just our own kids, but every kid. And every Sunday, that's why we take time to pray for our young kids and our youth. You know who gave us this idea? None other than dear Rina. I remember one time we had a conversation with her. He said, don't just send them away. We must pray for them. Rina, we've been praying them for the past 5-6 years. Thanks to you. Now, the thing is this. We just don't pray for them on Sundays. We pray for them. We make prayer a habit, and we cover them with prayer. That we pray so much. And many times, you know, again, it's very humbling where my children can come to me. It's, Papa, let's pray about situation. Let's pray about this need. Let's pray for something. And we could pray a short prayer. And they believe in the power of prayer. Because when your children believe in the power of prayer, they are going to have fierce, fierce faith. And here is Paul in 2 Timothy, next slide says, verse 6 to 20, 21, O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge, for by professing it, some has swerved from the faith. Paul used the word guard the deposit. The deposit was something that people put in the deposit banks in Paul's time. And if that person was going away on a long journey, he passed that key to someone he entrusts. Keep my thing safe. you know, care for that as your own, as if you it was your own possession. And so Paul passed on his faith story, the gospel message, everything that Paul had in his life as a spiritual father, he has now imparted to Timothy. And he said, now you must guard this. Deposit entrusted to you. Don't get involved in all kinds of funny stuff up there. But to guard your faith. And much more later, Paul says, what you have discovered from the gospel, go and find other fine and godly people that you can impart to. Paul says, avoid the irreverent babble and contradiction of what is falsely called knowledge. We are called not just to raise kids with strong, fierce faith. We are called to guard the faith given to our children. Help them to discern facts from fiction. Help them to discern from good from wrong. Help them to discern good from evil and life from death. Help our children to discern what is right and what is wrong, and not to be taken in by the world. Teach them to see the world with a critical eye, but not with a critical spirit. Critical eyes means to have discernment. But don't be critical of people who are outsiders. Don't think that because we are safe, we are better off than them. Because remember, we were once outsiders. So teach your children to have a critical eye about what's happening in the world, but not have a critical heart. Teach them not to be judgmental, but to judge everything carefully with wisdom and love and kindness. In closing, just two questions. Take a picture. It's important. I say a lot, but I just want to invite all of us here is this. Who can you identify in need of a spiritual parent? This is for those who ask. We know we are mature in the faith. We have been part of the leadership. We know we are in that place to impart. Look around us. Who do you think is in need of a spiritual parent? And for those of us who believe we need a spiritual parent, who could you ask to be a spiritual parent? This kind of thing, I will tell you, don't be shy. Just ask. What can go wrong? I often say, you ask, is a yes or no change situation. Right? You ask, no, okay. Your life has not been changed. It doesn't affect you. But when you ask, can I journey with you? Or you ask, can you journey with me? You know, some of us say, sure. Where do we start? Pastor got notes? Huh? No notes. Pastor got, you know, 10 sessions? No 10 sessions. Just be like Paul. Just share your story. Just share. Be real. Be authentic. And just let the Lord lead. I'm telling you, if we all do this as a community, as a family, let us not be close with one another, but let us express the unity that we have. Just one last thought. Just ask God for the grace to love as God wants us to love them. That's all we need to do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all rise. Thing. Let's raise our hands right now.
God did not want us to have orphan spirit. Maybe you have been in church for a long time and no one ever really took interest in your faith journey. But give all of us a chance to repent. Let us start afresh and new. If you so desire someone to come alongside as a parent, it may not be even be a parent, but be a brother and sister to you. Just say, Lord, show me someone. Just ask. And if someone come to you, just have the grace to say, yes, let's catch up. Let's have coffee. Let's have meal. Let's hear what God is doing in our midst. But Father, on this day, I want to break every orphan spirit, orphan tendency that we have. We want to break that mindset that saying that no one cares for us. People are cold. People don't care. Father, we need to break that spirit because, Father, because we are in Christ, we are in you, we have the Spirit in us, we are already in a perfect community. Just give us that grace, the humility to manifest it, to express it, to reveal it to one another. Bless everybody on this day. The Father, I thank you, you are Father of many, many new beginnings. So church, so brothers and sisters, so family, don't just rush off. Don't just say, that's it for me. But really, just look up to someone. Ask someone whether you can journey with them or you want them to journey with you. Father, you know us. You hear our prayers. In your most precious name. Amen.